Today, we'll have my chat with Disney-loving drag queen Nina West. That's coming up on this episode 245 of WW Prep to Go. Hello and welcome to WW Prep to Go, where we talk strategy and ideas for people planning their Disney World trips. I am your host, Shannon Albert from WDWPrepSchool.com. Thank you for being here for episode 245. Did you notice me trying to enunciate WDW? Because often it just sounds like I say WWWW. I'm trying. Thank you for being here for episode 245. Next, this episode is the next in a line of interviews that I have been doing and loving. You guys have given us great feedback, so I think that you are enjoying them as well. It's something different, but it is a good fit right now as we wait for things to reopen. I want to remind you to not only follow on social media, which I always do, but there are other things that you can do always in the show notes. That includes becoming a patron, where we are creeping up on 500 patrons. As soon as we hit 500, Heather and I are going to do a live recording of the patron version of the podcast. And I'm excited to do that because then we'll have like real-time interactions with people. We tend to put out about two episodes there, she and I chatting, and it is not much Disney related all the time. It's just chit chat to kind of entertain you because we are good friends. We laugh a lot. And so that comes through. Some people have said that the patron version of the podcast sounds like a completely different version of me. And I guess it is because it's more private and more loose and silly. Somebody that just became a patron posted this on our private Facebook group. She said, "I've thought about becoming a patron for some time now, being a fan of the site since a couple years after it launched, but it took a global pandemic and severe first world disappointment about a canceled trip to get me to finally sign on. I assumed I'd really enjoy the extra podcast content and access to this patron-only Facebook group, but wow, the patron-only content that you, Shannon, and Heather have posted from mid-March, which is when the shutdown began, going forward has far exceeded my expectations and hopes. It's just the sort of stuff I need to listen to these days. Many, many thanks." So that kind of sums it up. I think that people that sign up don't know that they're going to be getting so much extra stuff because I don't talk about it that much. So I wanted to just put that out there in case you are interested. We love doing it, and it's been a really great thing, especially during this shutdown time. So information on that is in the show notes. Hope to see you there if you're interested. Today is my interview with drag queen Nina West. If you are not familiar with drag queens, she was on RuPaul's Drag Race a couple years ago, and she was already well known before going on the show, which isn't always the case. Sometimes they only are well known after, but she came in with a reputation and she left with an even bigger one. And she is somebody that I have become friendly with because of her love of Disney. I think I've talked about it on the podcast before, how much I love drag queens. So in the last few years, I have really gotten into Disney characters, like meeting them in the parks, and drag queens. Those two things have been like huge, like bright spots for me, because when life is really hard, it's nice to have diversions like that, that are healthy to make you happy. And so it's been fun to dive into the world of drag queens and Nina West. And in fact, timing-wise, it's interesting because this Friday, she will be back on TV because they're having Celebrity Drag Race for, I think, 4 weeks in a row. So she'll be on TV on Friday, and that airs on VH1. So without any further ado, here is my chat with Nina West. Welcome to the podcast, Nina West.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Should I start off this podcast like you do yours? Like, today I'm talking to Nina West. I don't have the music to go with it, but I like that little ditty that you do.
Thanks.
So I am very familiar with you, but for the listeners who aren't, who are you and what do you do?
Yeah, my name is Nina West, and I am a drag queen from Columbus, Ohio, who some of your listeners may know me from a television show called RuPaul's Drag Race. I was on season 11, which was the last season before the current season that's airing right now. And I'm your reigning Miss Congeniality, which means I'm nice.
Yes, and I want to talk about you being nice because I want to talk about how we met, which was last August. And we were at D23 Expo. And if people are listening who don't know what that is, it's like Comic-Con for Disney people. And we had the special tickets that kind of like, what would you call them? Like a fast pass. They're called Sorcerer tickets.
Yeah, they basically allowed us like access to everything during the con. So we could do whatever we wanted during the convention.
Pretty much. And that's how we met, because we were two of like 300 or so people that had these special tickets. So we got to hang out for a few days. But that let us do a lot of things. But I saw you interact with fans a lot because a lot of people recognized you. I think I was the first person to recognize you, but a lot of people recognized you.
Yeah, because I was out of drag at D23.
Yeah.
I wasn't like, look at the big drag queen. No, I was just my boy self, which my name is Andrew. But you can call me whatever you want for the podcast.
Yes. I called you Andrew then, but we'll call you Nina now. Anyway, I saw you interacting with fans and I was like, oh my God, you just really gave them an experience. Like, you definitely lived up to that Miss Congeniality thing.
Oh, thanks. Thanks. Well, you know, I recognize that. First I was in this really wonderful place that I love going, which is, that's the second time I've been to the expo, the D23 expo. And I love all things Disney, and it's just something that makes me really happy. So I was around Disney fans who actually were fans of me as well, which I thought was really special. And, but I think it's, I don't know, when you meet somebody you really like or respect or admire or are a fan of, like, I know I personally, I'm like, oh gosh, I hope this person is nice. And I hope that they're friendly and they're willing to say hello or whatever, right? Whatever the expectation is. And not that I have high expectations, because I don't think that's healthy. But, you know, you just really, I think, want to have a positive interaction with somebody that you meet. And I've not always had a positive interaction with famous people that I look up to. And so I just think it's really nice to be nice and, you know, and give people a little bit of what they want. Of course, with boundaries, but like, understand that people, like, I may never meet most of those people that I met at D23 ever again. And so, you know, what an opportunity is for me to be a nice person and to be kind and to be in the spirit of the event and of also who I am as a person. Like, I make it magical, make it nice, and make it a positive interaction.
Yeah. It was like a note in my mind to always have that experience, because sometimes I get recognized in the parks or in Disney sort of situations too, just because of this job. And I've never been mean to people, but it made me think, oh, I want to make that like more of an experience like Nina did.
Well, yeah, because you can, I mean, you have a, everyone has a variety of choices to make. They have a choice to make of whether or not they're going to come up and say hello to you. And for the one person that said hello to you, there are probably five other people who are nervous about saying hello and who don't actually take the opportunity to seize and say hello. So for that one person of those five who did come up and say hello, you know, they've got a lot of like chutzpah and they've got, you know.
Yes.
And so like, it's not that, I might be in a hurry going someplace. I might be, you know, in the context of D23, I might be trying to get to the next panel or go in line for something. But also it's like, well, wait a minute. Like, again, like, it took this person a lot of nerve to come up here and say hello to me. I need to like take a step back for a moment. And I'm not, you know, I am not always good at it. You know, but I will say that I'm try to be very aware of the fans and try to be very cognizant of the interaction that I'm having and be very, very present, because I think that's all people want. Most people don't want a photo. They want to say hello and have a nice interaction. You know, like, oh, that was, I just want to tell you how much I really liked you. Or like, it'd be like running into Chris Hemsworth. I really want to tell you how much I loved you in this movie. Or who at Viola Davis, whatever, right? So it's, I don't know, I'm not on that level.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin Marshall credit card bill.
Well, I was going to say, those are people you have access to, but the rest of us do not.
I would say, I mean, I don't know if I have access to those people. I have done some really fun things, most notably of a lot of Disney things that I've always wanted to do have happened, and that's been really cool.
Yeah, so that's what I wanted to talk about next, because you are kind of known as a Disney drag queen, and you have lots of things where Disney and drag have overlapped, and I've noticed Disney is taking more notice of you. And yeah. So, like, you've been going to red carpet premieres, and so, like, what's kind of some experiences you've had that have been Disney related?
Well, you know, I have done the I did some promo for the film Maleficent, Mistress of Evil, which came out in the fall. So I did some commercial work for the film to reach, I think, my audience and appeal to their interest in the film. And that in turn was such a positive experience that I was invited to go to the premiere and participate in the premiere on the red carpet with Angelina Jolie and then Dakota Fanning. Was that Al Fanning? Oh my God, I'm sorry.
Yes.
I blanked out for a minute. Sorry.
You were wearing an amazing dress, amazing outfit too.
Yeah, I went as my version of Maleficent, and I had a wonderful time, and I got to meet a lot of really cool people. And that led to, I did some voiceover work for an independent animated short called Coaster.
Mm-hmm. Because they saw you talking about Disney, right?
Yeah, I was on The View, and I was on The View to talk about Pride back last June 2019. I was talking about Pride, and a Disney animator and a Warner Brothers animator saw me on The View, and they heard my voice, and they said, oh, this guy really loves Disney. Let's have him as our only voice in this animated short. And I was like, and so they called me, and I was like, of course I'll do this. Why wouldn't I do this? And that led to just a further relationship. It was an independent film, independent animated short. So it was not Disney sanctioned or Disney produced, I should say, but both artists have worked for Disney, and Dan Lund, who is, a major Disney special effects animator who has worked on everything from Lion King to Moana to Frozen and Frozen 2, became a really good friend of mine. And so my involvement kind of really went from there. But I should say, and I think you're aware of this, Shan, I should say that the relationship with Disney is very, very, I hold it very closely, and I am very careful with it. It needs to be held with kid gloves, because I understand that Disney is a major global brand, and I am a drag queen, and there are people around the world see me as something other than, and probably don't understand how I might, right, line up with, you know, the Disney branding, but so I'm being very careful with how I proceed, and I think Disney's being very careful, and we're both being very respectful of one another and trying to figure out how we fit and work together, you know?
Well, and it makes me really happy, because I've always argued with people when they say anything LGBT is not family friendly. I'm like, nope, I'm not going for that, and I'm not going to let you say it, because that is not how that works.
Well, yeah, I think there's that goes into the whole conversation that people who are LGBTQIA+ are sub or less than, and we don't deserve the same rights or access or happiness. You know, I deserve to have a family, and I deserve to have a family that should have access to happiness and health and, you know, and equality. And I think Disney is one of those brands that really does promote that, in my mind.
I think so too. I think so too. And your involvement in all these things has, I think, proven that. It's easy to have mixed feelings about a company like Disney, because they get some things wrong and some things right. This is one thing I feel like they're getting right.
I think it's, you know, and this is the thing, Shannon, and I hope people at Disney hear this. It is commendable. It's been a slow, slow grow. And I know you know, a fan of both the brand and being a supporter of the LGBTQIA+ community. It's wonderful for me, who's been going to the parks for as long as I can remember, to walk into a park and see Pride memorabilia or merchandise that are like showing little queer boys and girls that they're okay too, and that they can be the princess, or they can be the pirate, or they can be And they still have a story that is told at Disney as well. And, you know, because those stories that we all grow up with, and it's okay that I dream in a different way and to have equality and happiness. And I think Disney's great. Yeah.
Absolutely. So in addition to some of the things you've talked about, I know you also had Jim Cummings, the voice of Pooh, on your EP, right?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah, Jim Cummings. Oh, my gosh. So at D23, I got to meet Jim Cummings really briefly. And his wife and daughter are fans of RuPaul's Drag Race. And so I walked up and I said, oh, I'm such a fan, Mr. Cummings. And his wife was so fun and so wonderful. She's like, oh, my God. And so we kind of started a relationship of just a really casual friendship. And I was working on a Christmas EP and I was wanting a voice of Santa Claus. And I was like, I'm just going to take a stab and a shot in the dark. And I'm just going to ask Jim Cummings to do this. And for Disney fans, Jim Cummings is, like you said, the voice of Winnie the Pooh, Darkwing Duck. Mm-hmm. He is the voice of Rey in Princess and the Frog. He's the voice of like any major Disney film he's been a part of, any major Disney character he's kind of done the voice for, like, again, like Winnie the Pooh. And so it was kind of like this weird, crazy, weird moment. And the fact that he said yes, and then if you listen to it, it is like Santa Claus meets Winnie the Pooh. Like, you can't help but hear Winnie the Pooh. Mm-hmm. Santa. It's just so good. And so, yeah, I took a chance and asked.
Well, so that's kind of what I've done with this podcast is Pandemic and Nightly Wine has given me courage to ask people to be on it. And you are one of the ones that said yes. So thank you. Although I remember you telling me, hey, I want to be in your podcast. And I said, I'll think about it because I was joking with you. But yeah, it's never better late than never. Another thing you've done that's kind of integrating your life with Disney is you started your own podcast. And some of your guests have been amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, okay. So here's the thing, Shannon. So before Drag Race, my best friend and I produced this podcast in Columbus, Ohio called Dragcast. And we were just every once in a while we might interview a Drag Race personality. But this is – so we're going into our fifth year and COVID grounded me in Columbus. And I was like, what am I going to do? Like, what are some things I can do creatively that keep me kind of moving and keep me working? And Patricia suggested we bring back the podcast. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's a great idea. And then I said, well, I just don't want to talk about my experience with COVID-19 every episode. Like, I just don't – I just think that will run out. People need to hear other kinds of stories. And she said, why don't we just shoot for the stars? And so we sat down and we started writing a list of people we'd want to talk to. And that list has included Casey Levy from the original Broadway production of Frozen, who originated the role of Elsa on Broadway, to Daisy Ridley, who is Rey in Star Wars, the last and final part of that Star Wars saga story, the Skywalker story. We've talked to pretty much everyone, and it's just going on and on. So Daisy Ridley, Kristen Chenoweth, Michael James Scott, who's Aladdin on Broadway, Casey Levy, Bob's Burgers director Simon Chong. Jared Harris from the television show Chernobyl, and like every other major film. Like, once you see, if you don't know the name, you'll see his face, you're like, oh my God, that's him. Cause he's like in every major motion picture. Yeah. We just took a chance and people are saying yes. And as a result, we're hearing stories of how people are doing during this health crisis, as well as really uplifting moments for us to kind of grab onto and have some hope and some, I think look for some outlook for the future. You know, I don't know. It's been really amazing, Shannon. It's been really cool.
Yeah. It's been interesting to see people sort of pivot and adapt and, you know, figure out what they're going to do with this new like living situation. So restarting your podcast has been one of the things that you're doing. I know you've got a lot of other things, like you've been on doing reading storybooks online. Mm-hmm. What kind of other things are you doing to keep busy right now?
Yeah, so I'm doing Storytime with Nina, which is an all-ages free live stream that I do on Instagram once a week. I've been doing digital shows for this digital drag fest that are really silly and really fun. These podcasts. I've been writing a lot. I'm writing some upcoming stuff that hopefully will be produced. I've got a lot of things in the hopper that it's this time is forcing me to like, right, I've got to make time for this now, and I've got to work on it now because I have the time. You know, usually I'm on the road and I'm traveling from city to city, and I'm in seven different cities in 7 nights, and this is requiring me to allowing, I shouldn't even say require, this is giving me the opportunity to stay at home in the comfort of my own home, produce some new content, write new things, reconnect with myself and my family and my dogs, and just continue to work, I guess. You know, how is it for you?
Oh, well, on the Patreon version of the podcast, I've been a lot more vulnerable talking about that if anybody wants to listen there. But it's been really hard because we lost 90% of our revenue overnight. So we're having to figure out how to adapt. And the parks aren't open. So, you know, what do you talk about? Right. So we're just having to figure stuff out and try to be as helpful as we can. And I mean, you know, the whole world is doing the same thing, I think. But we're hanging in there. It's fun to have something like this to bring people joy, you know, in the middle of whatever their specific chaos is.
Yeah, it's really crazy because we're all experiencing the same thing, but all very differently. It's just such a unique period in history to pivot from and to have this common experience, but all have completely different reactions to the same story.
Yeah, I totally agree. My two favorite type of entertainers are drag queens and stand-up comedians. And yeah. So I follow tons of them online. And one of my very first thoughts when all this happened was, oh no, what are they going to do? Because mm-hmm. the very last thing I did before we were kind of in lockdown was attend a drag show. Like, yeah. You know, you all depend on that for your money. And that's how it works. But people like you are figuring out other ways to go about it and taking the chance to rest and write and all the other things you don't have a chance to do normally. So,
yeah, you have to like, yeah, I think drag queens are really inventive and, you know, like they are kind of, we're scrappy mm-hmm. as a breed of performer. Like we work really hard and we'll do anything we can to, I think, continue to work. And this is proving that yet again. I mean, if you go on Instagram and you follow drag queens, you'll see at any given point during the day, there are live streams happening on Instagram or Facebook or on Twitch or, I mean, I can't even tell you how many different platforms I've had to download just to engage or interact with people who I'm fans of, to watch them perform or do a show like Zoom or like Skype or mm-hmm. it's amazing to me. And, I didn't know all of this technology. I mean, I knew about Skype and I knew about like, right, the live shows on all these other platforms, but I was unaware of like how much technology had evolved so that we could stay connected, like doing things like Netflix Party and Chill or mm-hmm. Party App or, you know, all these different things that are trying to pull people together during this time of being isolated. I had no idea.
Yeah. It makes me want to keep doing it even after we do get to go out again, because it's been so fun.
Yeah, I was going to say, how much do you think the world's going to change after this? Like, are we going to adopt some of these new habits and pull them into the world? But the world's going to be different anyway. I mean, we're going to have to look at how the world's going to change. Like, what do you think park going?
Well, Bob Iger was just quoted today as saying that there will be new measures in place most likely when things reopen, because they have to screen people. You know, what shape that takes, anybody knows. But, you know.
Whoa.
I know.
That's amazing.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I am looking forward to that day whenever it comes. But who knows? Everything's going to be different. So you mentioned Casey Levy as being a guest on your podcast. Did you happen to see the recent Drag Race episode that featured her version of Let It Go? Oh,
yeah. How amazing was that, right? To sit like, and it was her version.
Her version.
I mean, Adina's version, I think, is the blueprint. But I think Casey is so monstrously talented, and her version is very different, which is also another reason why I love it. And I think it's pretty major that her version was on an Emmy award winning show, and it was her voice that these performers were lip syncing to. It was just remarkable.
When I tell you, I stood up in my living room, was clapping. I'm not kidding. It was so fun to me to see the worlds collide right there on television. Loved it. So when you're thinking about the combination of Disney and drag, it feels to me like drag is sort of a subculture. It's kind of irreverent, and Disney is not. So have you ever considered like how those two combine? Do you have to change yourself to work with Disney? How does that work?
Yeah, I think it requires being very attentive to my brand and to what Disney's brand is. And I have done irreverent things in the past, but drag as a whole exists in a variety of spaces. It doesn't just exist, or drag is not just solely created in the nightlife scene. As we have seen, drag is also created for television. It's also created for libraries, for story times, for kids. And drag, as we know it, has always been in the popular culture. We've seen Mrs. Doubtfire, for example, or we've seen other characters that have been in this kind of children's space before. And I think it's really important for the audience to be able to understand what they're consuming. And it's just like anything else. I would never take my child to an R-rated movie, regardless of who was in it. But if it was rated G or PG, and I knew it was suitable for my child, regardless of the actor or the voice, if it was suitable for my child, I still would think it would be okay.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I think there is this important conversation that needs to be had with people who have to understand what drag really is. And what you see in the nightclub or what you see at 1 in the morning is at a bar is not necessarily what you're going to get in, like I said, a library or on a children's television show. But again, I also think it does take a really smart, savvy entertainer or writer who's able to pull that off. And I don't think everyone can, but I do think I am capable of doing that.
Yeah, savvy entertainer, but also savvy brand to recognize that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you have to. I mean, like, this is not like a new, this is not some new effort on my part. Like, I have been able to, I think, walk a very fine line and appeal to both an adult audience that's paying a nightclub ticket to see me, and as well as to appeal to LGBTQIA+ family and or queer positive kids who also want access to the same type of entertainment that is built differently per the audience. Do you know? I don't know.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about. Yeah, it makes sense. I'm looking forward to the two blending more in the future, because I think we're just getting started.
We're just getting started, yeah.
So it's well known that you love Disney, and we were at D23 Expo together with lots of Disney fans, but there's a difference in loving Disney and loving the parks, because they're not necessarily the same thing. And you started talking about the parks. And yep. I was like, oh, she's into the parks just as much. So that made me very excited. One of the first things oh, yes, you love the parks. I want to talk about the parks next. But one of the first things you mentioned was there's this website or social media account called Parkeology, where you do all the attractions in one day. And I'm very passionate about it. And you had just discovered it. And so I was like, oh, she's fascinated with that, just like I am. So I was excited to talk to you about the parks.
Yeah. Okay, well, first of all, Parkeology is like, I mean, it'd be really easy to do now because no one's there. But it is. I'm fascinated by people's willingness. I mean, it is tough. You have to really strategize and build your entire day around wait times, peak season, park visits. I mean, it is. I don't know if I could ever pull it off. But I am fascinated by how close people get, like, depending on however many rides are running at any given time and how many people can get done in a day. I mean, it's remarkable.
It is. It's getting harder because new rides keep getting added. But it's fascinating to follow on Twitter and watch people try to do it. It's like a big puzzle. So I was fascinated that you were very into it. So I think you said earlier in this conversation that you've been going to the parks forever. So tell us a little bit about your history of the parks.
Okay, so I've been going to the parks, but by forever, I mean, my first visit was in 2010. So I've only been going for 10 years. But in those 10 years, you have to remember that I, as a traveling performer, have been to Florida, Central Florida, quite a bit. So the number of times that I've been to specifically Walt Disney World over the last 10 years is pretty ridiculous. I mean, like, I think in 2018, I went to the parks maybe 17 times.
Wow.
And that's because I was working down in Orlando so much, or Tampa. So, having an annual pass paid for itself, really. And I was able to go to the park and ride a couple rides and grab some lunch and, you know, go about my day, go to a show. But, you know, Disneyland, I think I've only been to Disneyland 6 times, 7 times total in maybe the last 5 years.
I'm surprised because you work a lot in L.A.
But it's really hard to, because Anaheim is, first of all, everything in L.A. takes forever to get to. And so Anaheim is about 45 minutes from, say, like Burbank, 30 to 45 minutes in traffic from Burbank. And then it's just, I mean, it's just a completely different scenario. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. if you're going like Disney World, it's just easier for me to take the time off before I go work at Southern Nights or before I go work at Parliament House than it is to, because it's really like the time difference is remarkably different than it is to plan the whole day really to go to Anaheim to then go to the park, even though it's just not as big. It's easier. You know what I mean? It's easier. Disneyland's an easier trip for the day because you can get a lot more done. Mm-hmm. But Disney World is more, I think, accessible to the other things I'm doing in Orlando.
Yeah. So your annual pass holder there because you know you're going to get to go there?
At both parks.
So does that mean you have the premiere?
No, I have two separate annual passes.
Okay. I've never done that before because I only go to Disneyland like a couple times a year. And then by the time you do the math, it's like, I'll just buy the tickets each time.
Yeah. I have it just in case. Mine is very much an in case kind of thing. I bought it at a bit of weakness at the last gay days. I was like, I'm going to get an annual pass.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Have you been to any of the international parks?
I have been to Disneyland Paris, and it is not the same, my friend.
The Asian parks, though, those are a major bucket list.
Those are supposed to be otherworldly. But, you know, like, I was supposed to go to Tokyo. I was supposed to do a show in Tokyo this fall, and I don't know if it's going to happen or not, because I was trying to build an entire trip around at least getting to one or two of the parks. but to go to the park in Shanghai, I believe you have to state your reason why you're going into China. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, going to the park, I think, would be enough, I hope.
You're like, I'm here to work. I'm here to go to Disney.
I wouldn't be doing drag in China, but.
Yeah. Well, I hope you get to do that. I hope I get to do it someday, too.
I hope you get to do it. Hello, come on.
I know. I mean, it's hard to justify as a business expense because it's totally not our focus, like, you know, for content and stuff. But still, it'd be so fun.
It would provide you content. I mean, like the things that you could talk about and compare it to the other parks would, I think, provide content that your listeners would be really interested in.
Yeah, they might. It's definitely a future strategy. We just got to get the parks reopened for now. My bucket list is all of a sudden dwindled down to, can we just open, please?
Yeah.
Yes. But someday I hope so. Okay, so when you go to Disney World, because that's where you go most often, do you have like a strategy? Are you booking fast passes 2 months ahead, or is it more like you're winging it?
So that's kind of the perk. It depends on the trip. So if I'm planning on staying on property, if I'm taking that kind of time out of my schedule to do that and stay on property and make it a small vacation outside of my regular life, then I am taking the time to book fast passes in advance. I am taking as much time as I possibly can to get the dining reservations that I want. So it depends. I have been, but here's the thing, Shannon, like, I've been to the parks so much now that I have a different understanding of how to do it than I think your novice park goer or your, you know, or someone who's never gone and is going in the first time and trying to cram everything in 2 days, which I think most experts would say that's just not the way to do it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, I try to, now I have a very different approach where it's like, okay, I really definitely, if I'm going to spend 4 days at Disney World, I definitely want to do a park a day and I definitely want to take my time and I want to walk around. I'll get those three fast passes and then maybe we'll figure out what we're going to regroup and re-up on. Or maybe if am I going to park hop? I don't know, but like I'll definitely plan to set out the day, you know, doing one thing, one plan. Those change. I've been so much now those plans change. I might make a reservation for a World Showcase at a restaurant World Showcase and then halfway through the day be like, you know what? I don't want to do dinner there. Let's go ahead and cancel the reservation, hop on the app, and let's go over to Magic Kingdom and just see if there's something available. If not, we'll grab quick service and we'll go watch the fireworks. Yeah, it just depends.
But yeah.
But I feel like the knowledge of the park allows me to have that kind of flexibility rather than – like I'm not scared. I'm not scared of missing out on something like I used to be where I was so frantic. Every time I would go into the park – the first like 12 times I was so frantic and making sure that I could get everything in.
Yeah, totally agree. And it kind of depends if you get to go often, obviously that's a privilege that we have. And some listeners have, if you have one like trip of a lifetime, you've got to try to fit in as much as possible.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I think, you know, if you're a listener who has that trip of a lifetime, the one trip of a lifetime, I would prioritize what's important to you. Is it for your kids? Is it like a couple's getaway? Is it a friend's getaway? And try to curtail the experience based around that information rather than going, Disney World has four amazing parks and it has a Michelin rated restaurant. And it has, I mean, like, you know, I would really decide because it has a lifetime of experiences, and to have the experience that you want, you really have to define the week or the weekend or the 3-day experience that you really want to have.
Absolutely. You got to prioritize because there's only so much you can fit into your days.
Yeah.
So, okay. So speaking of, I want to ask you about some favorites. You just mentioned Michelin star rated restaurant. Have you eaten at that Michelin star rated restaurant?
Victoria and Albert's? I have not because I cannot get a reservation. I have tried. I have tried. Every time I go down, I have tried. But I have not. It's on my list.
What have you tried that you do love?
Oh, my God. Okay, like, this is – I love this conversation. So is it like – do you want to do resorts? Do you want to do quick service? Do you want to do –
I can do table service. It can be – okay, table service resorts.
I love Chef Mickey's so much. I cannot tell you how much I love that experience. It's a character dining experience. It's at the Contemporary. It is – just, and I love it for breakfast specifically. That's how I like to start off my Magic Kingdom day, is go there, you know, get, take the, oh my God, why can't I even speak right now?
The monorail?
Take the monorail. Yeah. I couldn't even think of the word. I'm having a brain fart. Take the monorail, go into, Contemporary, get breakfast at Chef Mickey's and then walk over to the Magic Kingdom and be there for rope drop. If you can get that reservation. I love that. I mean, that's a really, really fun way to do it. Another res I love, my favorite show on property is probably The Spirit of Aloha at the Polynesian. I think that is it's a pricey ticket, but it is an incredible show full of an amazing Polynesian experience, both food and entertainment wise. It's just, think it's so great and it's so much fun. And the Polynesian, when you walk in, it just smells so perfect. But I've eaten everywhere at the Polynesian. So I'm like, Ohana's great. The Polynesian is probably my favorite resort as a whole. Dining, cocktails. I mean, because you can't go wrong with Trader Sam's.
You almost said Joe's, but he totally meant Sam's.
You can't go wrong there for a cocktail after the parks close or catching that water parade after the fireworks. I mean, there's just so many, but that's the thing. Like, there's so many different ways to do it. And you don't know it until you go so many times. And some people are like, you're so crazy to go to Disney. What can be different every time when you go to the parks? I'm like, actually, you'd be really surprised at how different the experience is every time you go if you just look out for something different to do.
I go on average once a month, and I still haven't done everything.
Oh, I mean, there's impossible. Mm-hmm. I mean, how do you... You know, it's impossible. Another really great dining experience is at Jiko and at at Animal Kingdom Lodge. Mm-hmm. I really liked. It's called the Cooking Place. I think it's like the Eating. I forget what the tagline is.
Yeah, that is what it's called. Jiko, the Cooking Place.
The cooking, and it's just, the food is just delicious. If you're willing to be adventurous in your dining, it is really, really, really good. But everything I've ever had at the Animal Kingdom Lodge is really tasty. But I usually, if I'm going to stay at a resort, my favorite resort to stay at is Port Orleans French Quarter, because it's small and it's intimate and it's beautiful. And I just love its location. Really, that's probably my favorite.
And you can get beignets there?
Oh my God, you can get beignets. But I will tell you this. Probably contrary to like popular opinion, I was very let down by the boozy beignets. I'm just going to tell you right now.
Oh, yes. Yeah, because it's really just regular beignets with...
with like a weird like test tube hanging out of it.
Yes, it's weird. Just regular beignets is the way to go, I think.
Yeah, just get a regular beignet. Skip the boozy beignet. I mean, it's just not worth it. But so that's resort dining. I mean, I've done a lot of it, but those are the ones that really come to mind when I talk about resort dining. But like... park dining. Do you have a favorite? I'm curious to know what your favorites. What's your favorite resort dining?
California Grill at the Contemporary. Yeah. Because it's like such a good value. Not only is it great food and great service, but it has that amazing view. And even if you eat there at 5 p.m., you can go back if you're receipt to watch fireworks at night.
Yes.
From the balcony. And so I just feel like you get so much for the money there. In park. I have a new favorite, and it's at Epcot, Monsieur Paul. And it was the last restaurant that I had never eaten at. And I just ate there with my foodie son in February, and we just completely fell in love.
Monsieur Paul, is that in the French Pavilion?
Yes, it's behind Chefs de France.
I have not done a ton of Epcot sit down dining at World Showcase. I've done, the San Angel, is that what it's called? San Angel?
Yeah, in Mexico.
In Mexico, which I love. I mean, I go there quite a bit. I just love it. The Mexican Pavilion is one of my favorite pavilions. That's usually how I mean, that's another question. Like, how do you start your World Showcase tour? I always start mine going Mexico. So I always dine there. How do you start your World Showcase?
Same as you, because I like to end on the other side where I can exit. In the International Gateway, and I take like a lift or something to get back to my hotel.
That makes sense. No, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, that is but yes, there's so much good food. One of the reasons I like to stay in the boardwalk area is because of the food at Epcot. So like, assuming you have park hopper tickets, you can go somewhere during the day and then come back to your hotel and then do dinner at Epcot. And you can like visit a couple countries. You can eat at a different restaurant. There's just so many choices that it's like they just packed it in compared to other parks, which don't have a lot of great dining options.
I really love the restaurant. I'm like having such a brain fart because I don't have the information in front of me. But the restaurant that's across from, Skipper Canteen. I like that.
Oh, yes.
I really like Skipper Canteen a lot. That was because I really love Jungle Cruise, and that whole theming is so much fun and goofy. And again, that carries over to Trader Sam's. Again, I love all of that theming and how connected it all is in different parts of the park experience.
Before Skipper Canteen opened, there wasn't really a table service I totally, totally loved at Magic Kingdom. I would always go outside and go just to a resort nearby. But like Skipper Canteen is a great one.
I have done the Italian restaurant. What is that called? Several times for right in the front of the park and sit on the
Tony's.
Tony's and sit in the patio for great parade views. I've liked that experience. The food is, I'll tell you, on Orlando hot day, the food is really too heavy for me to eat. Do you know what I mean? To sit there and eat it in the sun, that's a tough way to go. But it is, if you want to have a really great spot for that 3 o'clock Festival of Fantasy, that is such a way to go, in my opinion, because it gives you a dining experience. And if you have little ones, it pulls you up out of the way. I've been a nice experience for me. I like that one a lot. I also really love the dining in Cinderella Castle, the character dining, the princess.
Royal Table
is so great. I lucked out one time when I took my niece and my sister, and right before the fireworks, we had our reservation. I forget what time it was. It might have been like 8:15, and the fireworks that night might have been at 9:30. And we were finishing dinner, and they had blocked off underneath the castle. So basically, all the dining patrons were stuck and it was such a small group of us, and we were allowed to walk out from underneath the royal table and walk down underneath the castle and basically have stand directly underneath the castle to watch the fireworks. It was remarkable. And it was all blocked off because people weren't allowed to come up.
So it was like private for you guys.
It was amazing. And I don't know how that all worked out, but like that's another like insider tip because I've never tried to do it again, but it did happen. And those pictures are so great of my niece who was at the time was 8 years old and was loving her life. We were able, it was just amazing. That was, so insider tip, if you can somehow figure out the timing on that to make that happen. It was one of those things that we did, and it was like that magic of Disney that we were able to experience. It was really cool.
I love that you accidentally discovered that view. May I recommend something to you since you like Tony's and reserve viewing? During the Halloween party and Christmas party, Tony's is open for if you buy this ticket from like 9:30 p.m. to like 12:30 p.m. And you can come and go unlimited alcohol, unlimited appetizers and desserts, and you get reserve viewing for whatever the parade is for the Halloween or Christmas party.
I didn't know this.
It's amazing.
So you can just, with your ticket, you buy, it's like another ticket you pay for?
Yeah, so it's not cheap because it is a separate ticket. But what we do is we use it as like a late dinner. And we like double fist the wine and the empanadas and the, you know, chocolate covered strawberries. And we just make it like a late dinner. And then you get the front row view of the parade. So when those nutcrackers are coming down Main Street and the snow is falling, you're very front row. Nobody has a better view.
What? I did not know that.
Yeah, it's incredible. Yeah, I know. And the whole internet, like people that like have sites like ours, they don't recommend this event, I think because they've never done it. But I'm like, once you do it, you realize it is like the most VIP experience for the party, but it's not cheap because it is an extra ticket.
So it's like what, an additional 130?
Not 130, but it's not much less than that. But yeah, we just think of it as a dinner.
Well, no, but I mean, that is a way to look at it because sometimes I tell you there are times when you go during what anymore before COVID was peak season seemed to be from the end of September through until January 15th. And then you'd have a little window where it would slow down briefly after MLK and then get really busy again. I mean, so depending on what you love, if you love that not so scary parade, which I am obsessed with, or if you love that Very Merry Parade, that's worth it.
Yeah, it is. For those views, I mean, we have the best picture. So when people are like, where were you sitting for that? I'm like, listen, if you don't pay the extra money, you have to camp out for hours for a view like that. But we don't have to camp out. We just grabbed a glass of wine and headed out to watch the parade.
Yeah, that's worth it.
Yeah, so you might like it since you already like going there for other things. So that'll be fun. Yeah.
I mean, I don't love Tony's food, but
their appetizers and drinks and desserts are actually very good. And Tony himself is there during the Christmas party and he's singing. And then during the Halloween party, it's Cruella. So it's like a kind of a character meet. And there's photo pass photographers there. So it's kind of a whole experience. So add that to your list if you make it back.
I'll be back hopefully at one point.
Yes. Well, I hope we all are. Okay. So you've talked a little bit about your favorite hotels, restaurants. Do you have a favorite park?
Oh gosh. When I first started going to the parks, I was 30-ish. I was like 30 years old. So I'm now 40, 41. And so like my appreciation changes a little bit. You know, I think initially it was always, oh my gosh, Hollywood Studios was really cool in 2010, and then it was Magic Kingdom because of the magic and kind of what it represents. But now I think Epcot really is my favorite to spend the day at because there is so much to do. If you're going for Flower and Garden, or if you're going for Food and Wine, if you're going to a Festival of the Arts, I just feel like there's a lot more to appreciate, which I, as an adult, I really like. The kid in me loves Magic Kingdom. My favorite ride's in Magic Kingdom. Like the Muppets are in Magic Kingdom. There's like, you know what I mean? Like the Magic Kingdom has, and it has Happily Ever After, which I think is the best fireworks show. And, you know, but the adult activities, like having a cocktail and doing a meet and greet with Mary Poppins in the England Pavilion and catching a show at the America Pavilion during Festival of the Arts, which might be a Broadway singer like Josh Strickland or Ashley Brown, which is something that I love very much. Or it could be, you know, the during Food and Wine, it could be someone like Air Supply. I mean, like, it's just, I just feel like Epcot is the adult park that Disney's catering to me and my adult sensibility. The other three parks to me are definitely feed that kid in me more so.
Yeah, I think that question's always hard for people because it feels like everyone wants to say, okay, yes, Magic Kingdom, we have to do that. But then outside of that, here's my other favorite park. It feels like if you don't choose Magic Kingdom, something's missing. But also you might like other things too.
Yeah, I mean, like, Magic Kingdom is by far my favorite because of the nostalgia. Like, you know, like, I think that's the thing that we all, as Disney fans, I think that's why everyone holds on to that so much, what it represents. It has Peter Pan's Flight. It has Haunted Mansion. It has Space Mountain. You know what I mean? Like, it's the idea of what Disney is and was. And I never went to Disney World as a kid. We couldn't afford to go. And so I, you know, now then having the ability as a traveling performer to go, it was Magic Kingdom was everything I wanted it to be. And more, like, the experience that I had as an adult was emotional for me because I never got it as a kid. And so every other felt like a tangent. It was like, oh, that's cool too, but it's not this. This is what I saw on The Wonderful World of Disney on Sunday nights on ABC. This is what I remember. You know what I mean? I don't know.
No, I get it. I went as a kid, but my parents didn't really like it. So it wasn't a super fun time. So my first time as an adult planning was also at age 30. And so it is a slightly different feeling, but the truth is we can like all the parks. We don't have to pick one if we don't want to.
Right.
It's like, I love Disneyland so much that people have been like, well, which one do you like more, Disney World or Disneyland? I'm like, I like them both and I get to do both. So I'm not going to pick. I will say Disney World's more fun to plan because there's a lot more to it. So that's why we're here, because we talk about planning Disney World trips. Did you just say your favorite ride is at Magic Kingdom?
Yes.
What's your favorite ride?
Haunted Mansion.
Oh, nice.
I just love it. And I think it's what those original Imagineer rides all kind of have led to the legacy of all these other rides. It's the storytelling. It's from the second you get into the queue to getting off of the ride, and walking through that little pet cemetery, the theming and the storytelling is so great. That's why it's so good at Disneyland. And then the overlay is the best overlay during the holiday season at Disneyland. It's, I mean, just the way they do it all, Haunted Mansion is just the best. It is my favorite.
I describe it as they like scoop it out and start over or something. It's so thorough. It's amazing.
It is incredible.
Yeah. So Haunted Mansion is your thing. Okay. So I have one more recommendation since you said that. At Magic Kingdom, there is the Marceline to Magic Kingdom tour, and it takes you usually behind the scenes of Haunted Mansion.
We've done it, and we didn't get to go back behind the scenes.
That's why I said usually, because sometimes they don't.
That's the reason why I did it.
Yes, I know. That's tough.
And I'll tell you, Shannon, have you been to Marceline? I have.
I'm from Kansas City originally, and so I have been to Marceline.
Yeah, I did the pilgrimage last year. I think I told you this at D23. I did it while I was on tour. I was going from Kansas City to St. Louis, and so the time on that drive, I begged the promoter. I was like, "Can we just please drive to Marceline?" We went 3.5 hours out of our way, and we sure did.
Yes, it is an amazing little stop, but it's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. It's not convenient.
It really is. Nothing to. I mean. It's for a really diehard fan. I don't know if I would tell everyone to go to Marceline.
No, I would not. But if you like the history of it, then definitely make that trip. Yeah. So I thought that tour, I was hoping that it would go to Haunted Mansion more reliably, but you skipped it. So that's a bummer.
Yeah, we went to the Haunted Mansion. They gave us some of the hidden secrets and we walked around Haunted Mansion and we went through, I guess like a cast member service entrance area, but we were, for whatever reason, I think the ride was about to go down, or I don't know exactly what happened, because we were about to seemingly go backstage and pulled us from backstage and we walked out of the ride.
Well, I hope you get another chance, because I'll just say I started crying because it just was like, oh my God, here we are. We're in it. It's amazing.
I've heard it's the place where people dump their ashes.
Well, is some people, like, yeah, we do not recommend that. But yes, yeah, some people have that idea.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, don't do that. That's not.
Sanitary. It's just really, it's about sanitary. It's about being sanitary, guys.
It's not. Well, you can think of other options. But anyway, well, I appreciate you talking parks and Disney with me today. It's a nice break from all the rest of the stuff in the world right now. For people who aren't already following you, where can you be found on the internet?
Oh, gosh, thank you. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Nina West, N-I-N-A-W-E-S-T. You can find me on Facebook with the name Nina West. And you can, once this all opens back up, you can probably find me at the parks quite often. Please come up and say hello.
That's right. And your podcast is Dragcast.
Yeah, our podcast is Dragcast with Nina West. It is on my website, ninawest.com/dragcast.
Perfect. I am going to put all those links in the show notes for people that are not somewhere where they can remember all that. So,
Thank you so much.
I will link it below. Thank you for talking to me. I appreciate it. It's been fun.
No, Shannon, thank you so much. And hey, look, keep dreaming.
That's right. Did you like that? Maybe not as much as I did, because I was so happy to have had this discussion. If you weren't familiar, I hope that you learned a little bit and maybe we'll go ahead and follow Nina online like I do. I do think that will wrap up this episode of WW Prep to Go. For links that were mentioned, you can always check your show notes or you can go to the website, wdwprepschool.com, click on podcast at the top, scroll to episode 245. Until next time, I'll see you on the site.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.